This is the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour. I'm Ross Chambliss. Today on the program, we are broadcasting a debate held Tuesday this week at the Hinckley Institute of Politics between candidates for Salt Lake City Mayor, Ralph Becker and Jackie Biskupski. This debate was co-sponsored by the ASUU Government Relations Board and the Andrew Goodman Foundation's Vote Everywhere Project at the University of Utah. Today we will be airing this debate with few interruptions, and it will be available online on kcpw.org following the broadcast. This debate was moderated by Jason Perry, the Vice President for Government Relations at the University of Utah and the Interim Director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics.
We'd like to welcome you to the Salt Lake City mayoral debate at the Hinckley Institute of Politics. This event is also co-sponsored by the ASUU Government Relations Board, that we're so grateful for them, and the Andrew Goodman Foundation. We are also very grateful to welcome today Ralph Becker and Jackie Biskupski. Thank you for being
here.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about the format for just a moment. We will begin with 2-minute opening statements by each candidate, followed by moderated questions. Each candidate will have 1 minute for their answer, followed by a 30-second follow-up response or rebuttal if desired. We will also have the opportunity, as was mentioned, to take questions from the audience. Those questions will be answered by the candidates with the same time guidelines as the previous questions. All questions will be asked of both candidates. At the end, both candidates will have a chance to give a 2-minute closing statement. Because our time is very limited today and we'd like to get to as many questions as possible, I ask that you please hold your applause until the end of the debate. I'll begin with some brief introductions so you can know these candidates even better. Jackie Biskupski began her career by forming her own private investigation firm after earning a degree in criminal justice from Arizona State University. She went on to represent the Liberty Wells, Sugar House, and Central City neighborhoods for 13 years in the Utah House of Representatives. For the past 8 years, she has served as senior policy advisor and manager of special projects for Salt Lake County Sheriff Jim Winder. With the county, Jackie has worked on issues ranging from the creation of the Unified Police Department, streaming 911 services, and programs to assist and educate refugees. Ralph Becker has served as mayor of Salt Lake City since 2008 and was reelected in 2011. He received a bachelor's degree from the University of Pennsylvania and a JD and master's degree from the University of Utah. In 1985, he founded the consulting firm Bear West, specializing in community planning, and later served in the Utah House of Representatives from 1996 to 2007, including 5 years as House Democratic leader. He serves as president of the National League of Cities, on the advisory board of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and as a steering committee member of the Mayor's Innovation Project. Thank you so much to both of you for taking time in your campaign to be here with us today. Before we began today, we did a coin toss to decide who would go first in the opening statements. And based on that coin toss, Ralph Becker will go first with the 2-minute opening statement, and then Jackie will do her opening statement.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you to Hinckley Institute, to ASUU, the University of Utah, and KCPW for broadcasting this. In a campaign, it's expected that candidates distinguish themselves based on their leadership, their qualifications, their abilities, obviously, and their vision. You'll see differences between us, whether it's how we govern around issues like billboards and special interests, or whether it's the big, broad issues like economic development in the city, or air quality, or how we're going to protect our mountains. When I came into office, the economy was in the dumps, and downtown was boarded up. Today, we're bustling. We're the home of EA Games, Goldman Sachs, and a flood of businesses that have come into Salt Lake. And we're number one and in the tops of virtually every category in ranking cities and their success and their quality of life. We were also chosen by Google Fiber, and we are a Pac-12 university city. I'm a little biased, you understand, as a graduate and taught up here for over 20 years. We're number 3 in the country. Go Utes! In the next 4 years, we need to build on the momentum we've had in this city, and we need to further advance ourselves around sustainability, around education, around opportunity and justice for all. And my specific plans, as I've done in every campaign, are laid out on my website, and I invite you to go and look at those and help me devise the best approaches possible to keep this city moving in a great direction. I hope that everyone voting will look carefully at each of us as candidates and decide who will best lead this city in the next 4 years so that we can even have a better future. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And go Utes is right. Wait, what a great game over the weekend. Oh my gosh. So very fun to be here today. Thank you. And I love looking out at this audience. We have a great diverse group here today. And that is meaningful. Leadership is not only about building a strong economy, which is definitely something we need to focus on, but it is also about being inclusive. One of the reasons I even started looking at running for mayor is because we have a real divide going on in our city of those who have and those who do not have much to live on or much to get by with. The most extreme parts of our county for poverty are right here in Salt Lake City. The River District is really a difficult place for people to live and thrive and have real opportunities to be successful or to even be in this place where you are today. Leadership is about making sure that everyone has the same opportunities to achieve their goals and to pursue their dreams. And we are failing in Salt Lake City. I'm a mother, I'm a single mom. I'm Utah's first openly gay elected official. I ran in the 90s. It was not popular. I'm not soft at heart. I take on challenges because I see a need for cultural shifts. And when I ran in the 90s, we needed a cultural shift. The LGBT community was not liked. And we had every right to pursue our goals and dreams, and we are today. And I'm very proud of that. We have work to do in Salt Lake City, and I can't wait to do it again.
Thank you, both of you. I have several questions that are sort of University of Utah-centric, as you might imagine, with our city. And the first one has to do with the University of Utah being one of the state's largest employers, where we educate over 32,000 students here at the university. And our connection to Salt Lake City itself is hugely important. What is your vision for ways we can increase the connection of the University of Utah to Salt Lake City? And we'll start with you, Ralph.
Yeah, thank you. The university is the greatest economic driver, not only in this city, but in the state. The startups that come out of the university actually are the highest ranked of any university in the country, and it's a great credit to you as students, to the staff, to the professors that are so entrepreneurial and creative in moving things forward. The relationship between the university and the city is crucial. And it is crucial because we need to both be the home for the university. We need to have great transportation interaction. We have to make sure we protect our neighborhoods around the university. And we need to make sure we build the alliances that make both the university and Salt Lake City so successful. We are a university town. We now have University Boulevard that used to be called 4 South coming up here. The light rail tracks that connects us both to downtown and the university are crucial. We've got a lot more coming, whether it's bike paths or whether it's transit, and those plans are well in place to move towards the future.
So the mayor is accurate. This is probably the most popular place for creating job opportunities. However, our city is not partnering with the university the way we could be and should be. We have a lot of work to do to make sure that we are not only bringing jobs into Salt Lake that are jobs you are looking for, but also jobs that are complementary to our local economy and that allow you as real entrepreneurs to come into our city and find a place to land. We need to partner with you in a way that helps you find those venture funds to get your companies and your ideas off the ground, but also to make sure we're creating the space you need to work in. And we also need to create the housing. We are not creating a city that makes it affordable for young people who are trying to get a business off the ground to live in. And that is something we absolutely need to change.
Thank you. Response?
Yeah, thank you. Obviously, this partnership between the university and the city is crucial for the success of both of us. Whether you talk about jobs, where we're the number one job-creating city in the country, whether you talk about in terms of transportation, where we're now looking at an east-west line going to the north end of the campus using streetcar, whether you're looking at housing, where we have the 5,000 Doors Initiative, we have great opportunities out there, and our job is to continue to provide those opportunities and the keys for success so that as businesses spill out of the university, they're successful in Salt Lake City.
All right, thank you. Jeff.
Sure. So one of the things that we could be doing and haven't been doing is looking at a partnership with your shuttle system. You know, we have our track line that comes up here, but we still have a lot of students who have to drive to school. And part of that is because we haven't created a real transit system that works effectively. And one of the things we could be doing with the school is partnering with your shuttle system to get you in and out of the school area, not just on campus grounds.
Thank you. This next question will go to you first, Jackie.
Sure.
Apart from receiving an excellent education here at the University of Utah, our students are also looking for great jobs when they graduate. What is your economic development plan to expand and attract businesses to our capital city that will then hire our students?
Sure. So a big piece of what we need to do is make sure we're actually working with the university, that we are well informed, that we have a strong economic development team. We are on our third community and economic development director since the mayor took office. We've had two economic development directors. That position is not currently filled. And we are not creating a strong team. So we need a team and we need directors in place that will really work with you, that will make sure that we have a partnership, that we understand what those needs are for your job employment opportunities. But we also need to work with the Technology Council. We aren't doing that, and we aren't working with GOED. We will work very closely with GOED, and we will work very closely with the Technology Council to make sure that every opportunity is available to you as students and when you leave your university upon graduation.
Successful economy, certainly Salt Lake City's prosperity is not only known here, but known around the country. But we don't and should never rest on our laurels. That's the reason over a year ago we launched SLC Enterprise and had the great associate dean in business, Natalie Gochner, come in independently and assess, talk to the businesses, talk to everyone around the community about what we can do better, where we need to make corrections, and how we move forward. That has given us a pathway and guidance. By the way, we're on our third Community Economic Development Director, Jill Remington Love, who's terrific, also very closely tied to the university. And my predecessor had seven directors. So, you know, turnover sort of normal that happens in these kinds of jobs, and I don't think that is something that's a problem. I will also say this. We have incredible opportunities of jobs, and we need to continue to build on this. We have 35 interns all the time at the university. With the university students, please come and join us. It's a great experience for you, and it's also great for us to benefit from it. So come join us in Salt Lake City.
Sure. You know, stability in government is critical. Part of the reason we have lost opportunities to Utah County and all the IT companies that have located down there is because our economic development team has not been focused, has not been stable. Stability is key in building an economy. And yes, our economy is doing well, but it doesn't fall on the shoulders of the mayor right now. If you talk to the business community today, they will tell you we did that. And they did do it. And we're proud of that, and we're grateful for that.
Thank you.
Well, I think if you talk to the business community, whether it's our local businesses and the leadership there that's supporting me, or the leadership in the Chamber of Commerce who are supporting me, you would find a very different response in terms of how successful this city is in partnering and providing opportunities and taking advantage of every chance we have to continue the prosperity that we have been building. And maybe the best example, Google Fiber. Google Fiber picked Salt Lake City because we are at the front edge And it means all of us are going to have high-speed internet here in the next year or two. It's a great advancement and really a great reflection on this city and I think on my leadership.
And this is the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour. If you're just joining us today, we are broadcasting a debate recorded Tuesday this week between candidates for Salt Lake City Mayor Ralph Becker and Jackie Biskupski. This debate was moderated by Jason Perry, the interim director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics.
Thank you for your questions. This next question will go to you first, Ralph. Since we are here at the Hinckley Institute of Politics, a question about public service. Politics can seem like a nasty business at times, sure, which may keep some of our best and greatest minds from engaging in the process. Will you please say why you have stayed involved in the political process and what advice you can give to students thinking about a political career?
You know, I know when you look out there and I feel the same frustration and you see the ugliness around politics, it is discouraging and it keeps too many people out. But I will tell you something. I believe that public service is not only an incredible sort of calling for those who want to pursue giving back to a community, but it is the best way to be able to really have an opportunity to give back in ways that you would never imagine. I worked for Governor Matheson many years ago, and he taught me one simple rule in trying to make decisions. What's in the best interest of the public today and for tomorrow? We get flooded with lots of different ideas. We get flooded with lots of different opinions. But if we keep the overall public interest, if we maintain our integrity, if we include and engage people to get the best solutions, we are always going to end up with the best possible results. I've carried that throughout my career. And I will tell you, you can talk to anyone around me who's worked with me closely. It is an incredibly rewarding experience. And I hope people will get involved and get past sort of the rhetoric we see around politics today.
So one of the things I'll put out to you today is know what you're passionate about. Know what it is that you care about. What drives you? What's at your core? Because what's at your core is what you should focus on affecting. And a lot of times that is politics. Unfortunately, government is in the fray of just about everything that goes on in our life every day. And no matter what, your vote matters. No matter what. I've won an election by 11 votes. I've lost by 43. I've been involved in politics since the 90s. I got involved because of the East High Gay Straight Alliance back in 94 and 95. I don't even know if many of you know about that. But it was kids who were trying to look out for each other and were really running up against government in a very hard form. And it was not easy. But it was a place that I said, I need to help and I need to make a difference. And it's what's been driving me ever since.
I want to encourage all of you to get involved. I know for me, I started getting involved in neighborhood issues. And we were looking at the avenues and how we protect the avenues, and a group of us came together, and really we've seen some wonderful results today. And from there, I found myself getting more engaged. As someone who graduated from here and was heavily involved with policy matters, I worked for Governor Matheson, then went on the Planning Commission, then was elected to the legislature, and then found myself in this current role. It is a wonderful, rewarding experience, and get involved in any way that works for you, and I think you'll find it rewarding as well.
Yeah, look at the pictures here, just for a second. Who's on this wall? And who do they mirror in this room? And then who do they not mirror? You know, we have a real moral obligation to make sure that everyone's voice is heard, that their perspective is listened to, and that we drive change, that we drive it. Otherwise, we get the same thing over and over. And that has not served everyone well. And we know it at our core. We know that has not served everyone well.
Thank you very much. Can't wait to see who runs in this room one day. This next question will go to Jackie first.
Sure.
The University of Utah is interested in attracting the best students and faculty from around the world. Mm-hmm. Our efforts can be enhanced by the image others have of our capital city. Mm-hmm. What do you think the image of Salt Lake City is, and what can be done to further improve it nationally and internationally?
Sure. You know, we have a great image. You know, we are a very friendly community. We speak 127 languages in Salt Lake County. Right in Salt Lake City School District, we speak 105. You know, we have a real ability, I think, to attract more people, though. Part of our problem is our air quality. When companies look at our air quality, they look at coming here, it's a real issue. It's a significant economic development issue. And it requires a very broad spectrum of people coming to the table. And I'm very grateful to the Utah Moms for Clean Air, and I'm very grateful to the doctors, the physicians who have been doing this battle. But we need a mayor who will bring the business leaders and other elected officials along this Wasatch Front to the table to push for real progressive change that will help clear our air.
Thank you.
Well, we're fortunate to live in such a wonderful city and having this natural setting around us with these mountains and deserts that are so easily accessible. And that is an incredible attraction. And our increasingly vibrant downtown is an attraction as well. As has been said, we're known for being a friendly and clean city. But we also are known for the problems we have around air quality. Now, I'm an environmental lawyer and planner, and I've spent a good part of my career working in this arena, and particularly around air quality. And in fact, my 2014 State of the City speech was entirely devoted to air quality. There are a number of things we can do and have been doing in the city, changing out our fleets, improving our buildings, changing out all of our building and uses, whether it's streetlights, whatever it may be. And we've been seeing dramatic reductions in the city government and increasing reductions by city. But this needs to happen under the Clean Air Act at the federal level and particularly the state level. And that's the reason in the State of the City speech that we focused on that. And I'm glad that I am supported by virtually all of the leadership of all the air quality groups, including the Sierra Club and the leadership in HEAL and the Physicians Group and Moms for Clean Air in my candidacy for re-election.
Thank you, Jackie.
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. This next question will start with you, Ralph. As everyone in this room can attest, parking is a continual issue for us here on campus. So many of us and many of our students rely on other forms of transportation to get here. Will you please describe your transportation plan for the city, particularly as it may relate to us here at the University of Utah?
Yeah, thank you. As someone who's a neighbor of the university, someone who's not only gone to school here but lived here for over 40 years in the vicinity, I know all the challenges for getting to the university. We saw incredible success when light rail came to the university to the south end of the campus. Over 35% of the staff and students now come to the university by transit. We need to keep building on that. It certainly has helped. So plans for me include with the adoption of a transit master plan we've been working on for a couple years, is to have a much better transit system coming to the north end of campus and to tie into the tracks line that comes in from the south end up at the hospital. We have a streetcar study and plan that's being finished up this year, and we're working with the university on how we best tie into the university with that line. And then improving bus service, it just needs to be improved. I encourage all of you to vote for Proposition 1. It'll provide resources to help us get there.
Thank you, Jackie.
There is no doubt we do not have a transit plan in place, and we should have. It should have been something we were working on years ago. It's something you can help us with, and that would be great because we have differing neighborhoods. We have differing needs in those neighborhoods. And having your help doing the research and helping us complete this master transit plan would be extremely helpful to be inclusive of the bikes and of light rail and of a bus system that really connects us. We have made some progress in transit, but we have a long way to go if we really want to get people out of their cars and create a community where people can get around very easily without getting into a vehicle. That will help us with our air quality. That will help us in community building, and it helps us actually get together as a community. If we are using public transit more often, we actually experience life in a very different fashion than we do today.
Well, between biking and taking transit virtually every day from up here down to my office downtown and back, I know we have made some progress, but we have a long ways to go. And it's not just transit. We've got bus service now that's pretty good to the university, and we've got a light rail system that's pretty good, and all of those things can and should and will be improved. It's also biking. So we put in our first protected bikeway on 300 South downtown coming up towards the university, and the plan is to how do we best tie that into the university. So we keep increasing bike ridership and better bike connections. We know that needs to be done. There's plenty to be done. We've got great relationships and ties to the university, and we'll keep working on it.
That's a whole nother thing is the bike lanes. This is something you could help us with for sure, because what we've done in the creation of many of these bike lanes is pitted the community against the bikers. You know, we are creating bike lanes now where people don't have driveways, but they have cars, and they can't park in front of their home during certain hours of the day, and it's most of the hours of the day. So we need studies to make sure that as we're developing a transit system that includes bike lanes, that we're not putting people out, but we're actually making life better for everyone involved and not being exclusive to some who are not part of this biking community.
Thank you. Hey, this next question, we'll start with you, Jackie.
Sure.
Apart from us being able to vote for our mayor in this next election, we will have the opportunity to vote for or against Proposition 1. That will allow a tax increase to fund transportation improvements such as roads, trails, sidewalks, maintenance, bus, rail service, traffic, and pedestrian safety features. Please explain why you do or do not support this tax increase.
Well, because the tax is really needed. We have a lot of infrastructure needs in this community. We have nearly $400 million in unfunded infrastructure needs right now. It is critical for us to get that funding moved into our city. And part of that will be something that is very helpful to the student population, because we can create a much more friendly pedestrian lifestyle as well with this funding. We can help people with disabilities by cleaning up our sidewalks and make it easier for them to use our sidewalks and get around. There's a lot of issues involved when we don't keep up with our infrastructure, and we just haven't done it, and we need to. Part of bringing business into our community and keeping up with the growth of this city also means taking care of the house, quote unquote. And you have to do that if you are going to be successful in continuing to develop a growing community.
So I've already mentioned I support, as I know Jackie does, Proposition 1. Just for information here, 40% of that money would go to transit, to UTA, 40% to the city, and 20% to the county. And we have a real opportunity today to help shift. Ideally, our road funding, for example, would come from the gas tax as a user tax. But 70% of the money we put into roads and sidewalks in Salt Lake City comes from general fund, not from gas tax, because it hasn't kept up with it. So we have a real opportunity to take the city funds, the UTA funds, and really dramatically improve transportation service, particularly transit, biking, trails. And you'll be able to better take advantage of the Hive Pass, which gives you a 50% reduction, any resident in Salt Lake City, a 50% reduction in your cost for getting a monthly pass. So we get the service better, convenience, coverage, and hours of operation, and everyone will be able to use transit better, and our roads will get better as well.
So just getting the funding isn't enough, though. You have to have very fiscally responsible leadership. The council passed a tax increase a couple years ago, and the mayor vetoed it. They overrode the veto. That tax increase was $30 million. It was supposed to go towards infrastructure. The mayor spent half of that on salaries. The other half of it is going towards infrastructure, but $8 million of it is for debt relief. So we are not doing a good, sound fiscal policy around this whole issue. So just putting money into the pot doesn't make it better. You have to make sure you have strong leadership that is being fiscally responsible with those dollars.
Well, this is one area there's certainly a difference. And let me just say information there about the tax increase that was passed by the council and I vetoed a number of years ago. It just isn't accurate. But let me talk a little bit about how we can best use our money going forward. My opponent is suggesting that we develop our own city bus service. That would result in both a big bureaucracy in Salt Lake City, taking away money that should be going into improving transit service. We disagree there. We need to improve service. We don't need to build Salt Lake City bureaucracies and double tax people.
And just a reminder to listeners that this is the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour on KCPW. Today we're bringing you a debate with few interruptions recorded Tuesday this week between candidates for Salt Lake City Mayor, Ralph Becker and Jackie Biskupski. This debate was moderated by Jason Perry, the interim director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics.
Thank you. This next question will go to you first, Ralph, and we brought it up just a little bit. Your agenda somehow has to play with the Salt Lake City Council. In this particular role, how do you see yourself interacting with them to move your agenda forward?
Well, I'm really glad to say that in my now 8 years of service, I've had terrific relationships with my Salt Lake City Council, and it's allowed us as a city government and working with partners in the private sector to advance all kinds of initiatives. I've only had two vetoes in my whole time in office, which is pretty unusual. I've also had great support from our council. Five of the current members are supporting me in my reelection bid. The other two are remaining neutral. So it reflects the kind of relationship that we have to make decisions. And it means a lot of give and take. It means that if I come up with an initiative or a council member comes up with an initiative, we try to work through those and figure out what's in the best interest of the city and how we merge our ideas together to advance this city forward. So I'm really pleased that we've had a very strong, committed city council. I've been working with them well, and I'm confident, looking at who's running this year, that will continue for the next 4 years.
Yes. So working with the council will not be an issue for me. I've been able to work with just about anybody as an elected official coming into some very difficult situations when I first got elected in the 90s and building very strong relationships along the way to affect change. And that continues today. You know, I've been endorsed by both sitting Republicans and Democrats at the Capitol right now. And I've also been endorsed by people who are from both parties that work at the county or work at in the different councils in the different cities. I have very extensive background in working with everyone in this county because I work for the sheriff. So I've done a lot of projects, and those projects in the county have required extensive relationship building, and that's one of my strong points, and I'm really looking forward to being able to serve with the council.
Very good. The next question will start with you, Jackie.
Okay.
Although it may feel like you had 100 plus debates, my understanding is for the general election, this is number 11 of 13. And we're thrilled that you're willing to do it. Mm-hmm. But the question I have is, since you had a chance to hear almost everything, what is the one question you're surprised doesn't come up very often?
You know, for me, the one question that doesn't come up very often, no matter what neighborhood I'm in, is how is government serving my neighborhood today? Like, what is happening right here for me that is a positive thing? And there's not a ton of dialogue around what could we be doing together, you and I. Yes, you'll go vote, and you'll go do that, hopefully, especially if you live in Salt Lake City. But what is it that we could be doing together? And that is one thing that, without a doubt, matters, because you have a pulse of your local neighborhood and the community. When I've been going to community council meetings, what I am hearing is the city government is not listening. If you live in Sugar House, We're trying to extend that tracks line again. And every time that comes forward, we are beating that back because Sugar House isn't ready for that development. We don't want it because we don't know where it's going. So government needs to listen, and we need your input as well.
Thank you.
So I think now after some 20-something debates during the primary, and this is our 11th, I'm glad someone's keeping count, in this election, I really can't think of things that haven't been asked. But, you know, one of the things I think I'll say, and I've been walking door-to-door since February, and including last night, and been going to so many community forums. And people, understandably, are very focused on the issues on their street, on their doorstep, or something they see that they like or don't like. But I think one of the things that's challenging, certainly, for folks is to look towards the future. And, you know, the future is so important. I guess part of it is me being a planner. Part of it is me knowing that in this job, if we're going to be successful as a city, we can't just react. You can spend all your time reacting to stuff that's coming at you. We need to be proactive about things that make a difference, whether it's in our mobility, whether it's in an active downtown, whether it's in our university relationships and connections across the board.
Right. The other piece to that is creating what is a real sustainable environment to live in. We know that every decision we make today should be something that when we look back 50 years from now, we can be proud of that. And that's a key factor in government and what we do and don't do. Part of why I'm looking at the potential of creating our own bus system is because UTA consistently has said, we are regional, not local. We can't do it all for Salt Lake City. That's a reality. And if we want to get people out of their cars, we have to create an alternate system. And is our own system, our own bus system, that can partner with UTA a good idea? And that's where you come in. You have to give me that information and say, yes, we need that, and here's why.
Thank you. I have numerous other questions, but we're going to take a moment to go to our students here in the audience. And Matt and Connor have been collecting questions from the audience. And as I see here, Ralph, you'll take the first question. Yeah. It's your turn. So.
Perfect. This comes from Barbara. With the estimated economic and population boom, what are your plans to get Salt Lake City prepared to accommodate these changes?
Well, that's a great question, because Salt Lake City is going through a boom like we have not seen in decades, really anybody's lifetime. Our population's at the highest level it's ever been. Our economic prosperity is going right through the roof by any estimation of how you look at it. The flip side of all this prosperity and growth is how do we address growth so that we protect the great resources and neighborhoods that we have today? And that, of course, is where I actually spent a good part of my career as a planner. And I see Tim Chambliss here, who's on the Planning Commission Board of Adjustment. So we need to look at things like housing, where we've got this 5,000 doors initiative, 5,000 affordable doors in 5 years, and we're way ahead of schedule. We just started this year to make sure there's affordable in a range of housing types. We need to make sure we don't overcrowd our classrooms and provide for this increasing diversity. We need to make sure we protect our mountains, as we are doing along the way with Mountain Accord that we need to now complete. We need to do it around air quality so that as we grow, we're providing options for people to get around so our air pollution decreases rather than increases with growth. It's really a matter of good management, working with people, and getting things done.
Thank you, Jackie.
Yes. So just so we're clear, the 5,000 doors only includes about 350 low-income housing units. The rest of it is really your perspective on what is affordable and what isn't. In order to live downtown right now, the average cost of a housing unit is like $1,400. That is high. So for me, we have to make sure that if we are going to keep up the growth in this city, that we don't become a city of just wealthy people, that everyone can live here who wants to live here, that we can find the housing that we need and want, and that we're developing housing and employment opportunities on our transit lines so that we don't have to be driving around. And we also need to be very mindful of, again, our opportunities. You know, every time we bond for something, that takes away a potential opportunity to bond for something else. And we have to weigh wants and needs on a regular basis and look at all of our bonding opportunities at the same time and not just one at a time, because we can get caught up in getting a very expensive budget going that doesn't necessarily meet all of our needs.
So there's no question that making sure we provide for affordability in this city is a key. Too many cities that have been successful like ours have gentrified and pushed people out of the city. The 5,000 Doors Initiative, just to get the facts right here, we already have over 800 doors where we've provided housing for folks, affordable housing at 60% and below of adjusted median income. We have 2,000 more doors in progress. My view is if we get this ahead of schedule, which we're doing, let's go for the next 5,000 doors. We've got to give a range of housing types and educational opportunity, which we've done through the Capital City Education Plan. Please look at that, and you'll see the great progress we're making.
Anything else?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. Connor or Matt, next question, which will go to Jackie first.
This one is from Joshua. I worked on the east and west side of the district of Salt Lake. There was a vast difference in resources. What will you do to assure educational equity?
Right. So the city has an education program right now that's run by a woman in the city, but there's no real funding to help our schools be successful. So I went and I toured South Salt Lake, and South Salt Lake implemented a very strong community partnership with the school district. And in that partnership, they assess every child that's coming into the school, and that child's assessment is where are they at on grade level. And if they're not at grade level on the different topics that we are educating our children on, then they are matched with a tutor, someone like you. And then that tutor helps that student get to grade level. But they also assess what's going on with the parents, which is a critical piece to this. If we are ever going to move our River District in a new direction, it is making sure we are also assessing the barriers to success for the parents and helping them achieve success along with helping those students achieve success. And we do that through mentoring, and I've set up several mentoring programs at the county level. We need to bring that into Salt Lake as well.
So all of these ideas that Jackie's mentioning, I appreciate, because that is really, in my running for office 8 years ago and now been in office, are things that we have and are doing and will be accelerating over the next 4 years if I'm in office. The Salt Lake City Education System is a separately elected board and a separate superintendent. From my experience in the legislature, we were failing, not only with public education in general from my point of view, but particularly for a place like Salt Lake City. So the first thing I did was hire a full-time education coordinator. We've been wrapping ourselves around the public education program, preschool programs, after-school programs, summer school programs, and we were, contrary to what was said, the biggest supporter of the community learning centers, which are designed to help kids coming in to schools who are disadvantaged. We've developed two. We've got a third starting construction. And it really gives kids a really a great opportunity to be successful through health clinics, dental clinics, optical clinics, extra classrooms, English as a second language, and bringing the parents and the families into the school system.
Yes. So the measurable outcomes, that's what we need. And they aren't in existence. The other thing I'll tell you is that if you look at a study that was done up here, 80% of the minority children in Salt Lake City School District are coming into contact with law enforcement by the time they turn 18, and many of them being funneled into the criminal justice system. If that's success, then go ahead and take it. But for me, that's not success. Our children should not be funneled into the criminal justice system. They should be funneled into this school, and that's what needs to change.
Part of what we've done in the Capital City Education Plan, working very closely with the university folks, by the way, you've played a critical role through neighborhood services and through Pam Perlick's analysis, is we now measure every kid, every classroom, every school, and success or not success. And it is helping us shape our public education system as we've never seen before. We are bridging that achievement gap, but it takes a long time sustained effort. We're on our way, and there's no doubt in my mind with another 4 years and me completing the job that I'm doing in partnership with the university, Chamber of Commerce, the school district, community college, and others, we can be incredibly successful in changing this dynamic that is true all across the country.
And thanks again for tuning in to the Hinckley Institute Radio Hour. Again, if you're just joining us, this week the Hinckley Institute held a debate between Ralph Becker and Jackie Biskupski, candidates for Salt Lake City mayor. The debate moderator was Jason Perry, the interim director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics.
Thank you. This next question is for Ralph first, Matt or Connor.
This question comes from Preston. Landlords are able to keep a large portion of the deposit and discriminate based solely on credit score. What will you do as mayor to protect tenants?
Yeah, thank you. Unfortunately, most of our landlord-tenant laws are established at the state level, and we have to comply with those landlord-tenant laws. Jackie and I are both involved in year after year of legislation that I think unduly favored the landlord. We've instituted a program, actually, that I think helps tenants and know their rights and preserve their rights with the landlord-tenant program. And we do it particularly for people who are disadvantaged. We have education programs all the time, encourage all of you to get involved, to understand what your tenant rights are, and to make sure you can protect yourselves. We've got to continue to provide for good housing. We've got to continue to work at the state level to try to make sure tenants' interests are represented. It's a tough battle. 40% of the legislature is tied to real estate development, and it certainly creates a bias for them. It's our job to look out for and protect and support tenants. It represents half of the housing in Salt Lake City.
So that's all true. The other piece to this, though, is we really could be building a coalition and working with people like you on Capitol Hill to move that agenda and lobby that legislature. We need to do it. Salt Lake City needs this in place. And it's one of the barriers that we are having in our city to really helping our city become something other than gentrified. And we are moving in that direction. So I would love to have your help, and I would be on Capitol Hill with you, working day in and day out to change those laws, because it is true that that is a factor that should not be in place, and we should be moving in a different direction.
Ralph, do you have any follow-up on that? Very good. So the next question. Should go to Jackie first.
Did you or would you have signed the letter encouraging President Obama to accept more refugees from Syria and the Middle East?
You know what? I haven't read the letter. I'm sorry, but I am somebody who works at the county right now and works heavily with the refugee population. So there is a lot of work that we do there. We were finding that refugees were coming into the criminal justice system simply because they didn't understand our laws, nor was anybody helping them understand them. So we created programs to educate, to make sure that people were not coming through the justice system unnecessarily so. Our original program was so successful, we developed other programs. We developed programs for youth who are refugees, to help them understand gangs and what goes on in the gang world, to help them understand what's happening in the community around drugs and violence. So we have trainings for women and men on domestic violence. And all of those programs have been extremely helpful. No matter what, we have to do everything we can to make sure that when refugees are coming to Utah, that we are making sure they have an opportunity to be successful as well.
So the refugee resettlement program is obviously important for this country and for this city. I'm really proud that Salt Lake City in Utah is one of the identified cities in the country, one of 15 or so, where we are a refugee resettlement city, and we receive about 1,000 families a year. The decisions about which families come to Utah is actually made at the federal government. And they direct families, refugees from all over the world who faced horrible circumstances. We already have 15 families that have come to Salt Lake City from Syria, and I suspect we will continue to get our share as we do for refugees all around the world. Recognizing the challenges that refugees face, which are more difficult than probably anyone else coming to this country, we establish in our office a full-time refugee coordinator. We've established a human rights education program for the full range of things, not just around criminal activity, but rights and landlord and education and a whole range of things that we can do to help refugees assimilate, feel more comfortable, and be successful in our city.
We have time for one more question from the audience.
Is this on? How do you think students can become more more engaged in the public policymaking process?
This one goes to Ralph.
Well, first of all, we'd love to have you involved. One of the things we've done in my administration is we've greatly expanded our internship program. We have 35 interns continually revolving through, a lot of them here from Hinckley and from the university, but kids and folks in education from all around the country. The other thing I'd say is just get involved in your community. I know in your generation that there's a tremendous commitment to community service. And that extends to public service, as we've talked about earlier. I would just want to encourage you to get involved. Find folks you believe in. Find folks who are pursuing objectives that you want. And come to us. I can tell you, we find places in Salt Lake City through a volunteer program we've also established while we're here, through working with the university and the Hinckley Institute of Politics. I just want to encourage you, get involved. We'll find ways to help you get a fruitful experience. And I think you'll find it rewarding. So many folks I know have caught the bug, as I did.
Jackie?
Yes. You know, so much of it is about research. There is a lot of research that gets done at the government level that really would be helpful if you were engaged in that. The other thing is public policy on Capitol Hill. You know, there are a lot of things that our city government is involved in that ends up on the steps of Capitol Hill to affect change. You know, air quality standards, building standards, you know, all of those things around sustainability. A lot of that is decided at the state level, and implementation is down at our level. But in order for us to affect change and demand greater standards, we sometimes have to go to the Capitol to do it, and having your help would be immensely, I think, create an immense ability for us to be successful. The other piece to that is you're already working in our city. You are part of our economy, and you are driving what's happening in this city. Don't ever forget that you're already involved. Now it's our turn to make sure that we are working as partners, and that's a big piece of all of this, is partnerships.
We will now conclude by having an opportunity to hear from both of you, giving a two-minute closing statement. According to the coin toss that occurred before, that we will start with Jackie going first with your closing statement, still for 2 minutes, and then Ralph after you.
Thank you. Jackie. Thank you again for being here and for getting engaged in politics the way you are. It's extremely meaningful. We were showing very low numbers in turnout for the youth. And I think the vote by mail ballot has helped, and that was something that came through the city, and I'm very grateful for that because we are seeing higher turnout this year. We have an opportunity to move our city forward with two very different leadership styles. You know, for me, it's about everyone in this community and making sure that not only the downtown is thriving and there's a lot happening there, but so are all parts of our city. You know, the west side of our city, having a real thriving economy and hearing and listening to the people, what they want and need, paying attention to the fact that we have extreme poverty in the River District and knowing that it takes a leader who is focused on that to affect change there. I want to make sure that no matter what, that as we move forward and we develop our community, that we are doing it in a way that we don't drive people out. You know, as I've been walking my old neighborhood in Sugar House, and I'm walking in the neighborhoods in Rose Park, I'm hearing from people in Rose Park that they're Sugar House refugees, that they were forced out of the community because they simply can't afford to live over here anymore. I don't want that to happen. I want people to be able to live where they want to live and be able to afford that. And the only way to do it is to make sure that as we are developing housing, we are making sure we develop housing that is not just affordable, but includes people who have lower incomes than others, and not discriminate against people simply because of their income level. We need to move forward together, and I want to bring that to our city.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for hosting this, and certainly a pleasure to always be up here at the U and to participate with you. I built a career out of bringing people together and getting things done. And that kind of consensus building, that solution-oriented approach, gets us always the best results. And it is incredibly important that we have an inclusive community. And by the way, all of the neighborhoods in this city are terrific. Some, unfortunately, carry a stigma that they don't deserve. But we look at investment in this city, while I've been in office, we've put far more investment in the west side of our community, whether it's around the Glendale Library, whether it's around the tracks line to the airport and completely rebuilding North Temple, whether it's around the regional sports athletic complex with the soccer fields, whether it's along the Jordan River. And those things are the beginning of what's making a difference and beginning to change that what was unfortunately a difference in our two sides of our city. It's also so important that we continue to address our current problems, whether that's air quality or homelessness, or whether that's providing a good education system. Going forward, we need to make sure we build on this momentum we've had as a city. It means that where we have been recognized nationally and even internationally for our sustainability practices around reducing our carbon footprint, improving air quality, giving people mobility options, giving people options so that they can have housing and we do not gentrify folks out of this city, dealing with homelessness, those things we need to build on and carry it forward. Please go look at our specific plans for the future. And I think you'll see a major difference between us, both in what actions we've taken and in our plans to keep us going forward. I ask for just one thing. As you consider who you will vote for as mayor, I hope you will look at us and look at our capabilities and who can best lead this city. And let me finish this job.
Thank you to both of you. On behalf of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, ASUU, and the Andrew Goodman Foundation, we sincerely appreciate you being here with us today. It's been a fantastic experience for all of us. Let's give a round of applause for these two candidates.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to our debate this morning, recorded Tuesday this week at the Hinckley Institute of Politics between candidates for Salt Lake City Mayor, Ralph Becker and Jackie Biskupski. And it was moderated by Interim Director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics, Jason Perry. The full audio from this debate is also available on our website, kcpw.org. This program is made possible in part by the Hinckley Institute's Wayne Owens Fund. I'm Ross Chambliss, your producer and host. Thanks for listening.